Welcome to Mimiki TV. Get ready to break through barriers, fuel your faith, pursue your purpose, and market your message so you can impact the marketplace for God.
Callings, I think, are one of those things that, you know, God implants in us at a young age. If you think about what were you like at five, because most five-year-olds don't they still have that childhood wonder. They're still in that learning, that love of learning before the school system, you know, taints that. But if you think about what you were like at a five-year-old where you were carefree and you didn't really care about consequences, or, you know, you sang dancing on the kitchen table. You didn't care what people think. If we can go back to and find, I mean, you'll see, like, I even remember my son, he was into Lego when he was like three. You know, we would get him a box, and in him as a five-year-old, most kids would follow the instructions and put the piece of Lego together. He would look at this and he would try to find other ways of making. So he would make all sorts of, he would take the shapes and then he wouldn't follow the instructions. He wanted to make his own contraptions, and then he would start finding pieces from other boxes that fit. So at very young age, I was like, I think we have an engineer on our hands here. Like, you know, maybe we should put him in an environment where those kind of things are nurtured. But unfortunately, I mean, don't even get me started on the school system, because that just gets me on a rant. But, you know, for me, my view is that we want to nurture those things that God implanted in us before we got tainted by the world. And if we can think, if we've lost our idea of what our calling and our purpose and our gifts and talents, we need to peel back the layers. Because for many adults that I work with, a lot of the time they're either in a situation where they've got skills and they're really good at things. Like, they could be really, really good at doing a certain thing from either what they studied at college or school or in a job. But sometimes they're not fulfilled. They have this internal thing that says, I'm not doing what I was meant to do. Like, this doesn't feel right. That, like, really? Like, I should, you know, it's like there's even, if you've seen on TV, there's a guy called Ken Yeong. He's actually a qualified doctor. And he's, you know, comes from an Asian family. So his parents' expectations was that you go to school and you become a doctor. But he hated it. And eventually he took a chance and he says, I want to be a stand-up comedian. So you can imagine how that went down on the dinner table. Like, hey, mom and dad, I just done 7 years of medical studies, but I'm going to be a comedian. Can you imagine the raucous laughter? But you know what? He followed his dream. And now he's on TV. He's like, he's on movies. He's, you know, he's created himself. And he's being himself. Like, he's the same when he's acting as when he's being himself. And I'm like, that is such a true example of how many people are Ken Yeong's in disguise, who are stuck in situations, who are not following what that calling that God or that purpose he put in you. That I would challenge you today that, you know, really think about how you were when you were a kid. What are those things that you love to do? Like, if you had to talk about something all day and you didn't get paid for it, what would that be? Now, of course, there is a caveat to that. As adults, we have to, you know, pay the bills. But how can we get back to being ourselves? Like, whether it's, like, for me, I was always told I was very bossy and very chatty. So I was like, being in school, I got myself in trouble a lot. But now, being chatty is actually how I make my money. So, you know, I'm glad my mom encouraged me to be a talker, even though many of my friends would drive them crazy and they'd be like, shut up. But, you know, if you think about how you were as a kid, look back at what you feel, and that you will know within yourself if you are in the right place. It's just that sense of peace. So I would always say, you know, pray about where you feel you should be. Think about how you were before you started trying to please people, whether it's your parents and teachers, expectations. Like, we become people pleasers as we get older, and it's really hard to undo that as you get older, but it's not to say it's impossible. And sometimes it takes you being a bit brave to stand up and say, this isn't me. Like, hey, I learned accounting at school, but actually I hate numbers. Like, ugh, no, that's not what God wants for you. That's not a fulfilled life. To be working and to say, when I get to retirement, then I'll live, is such a waste of talent and a good life. Like, God has given you a lot of opportunity. And, you know, if, no matter your background, no matter your history, no matter your hurts and your failings, God can use anybody. And that's why I'm so passionate about this whole concept of what makes a champion. Because I'm actually busy working on it, trying to do Christmas shopping and stuff, is writing my book, which is number 9, and tell you I've had to learn things the hard way. Writing a book is like having a baby. You know, it's all exciting in the beginning, and then the nausea sets in, and then they're like, oh, and you have the messy middle, and then you have to push towards the end, and it's really painful. But then when you get it done, you're like, oh, this is so great. Let me do it again. So there's me. I'm in the euphoria stage right now, going, oh, that was such a cool idea. Let's do this again. But I'm sure reality will hit me soon. But what I've been finding in my research, and this is what is so encouraging, the book's called Heart of a Champion, How Ordinary People Achieve the Extraordinary. And if we look at an example like David, for instance, everyone thinks he was this fabulous, wonderful king, and he was just born with a silver spoon in his mouth, and he was super special. He wasn't necessarily ultra special. He just said yes to God. He was an ordinary shepherd. God looked at his heart and was like, I can do something with this. I can work with this. And even fast forward to when he killed Goliath. If you look at, that's why I feel mindset so important. His brothers were camping outside Goliath's camp opposite to where the enemy. Every morning, the enemy, Goliath, would stand up and taunt them. Now, if you look up the word taunt, it means harass. It means throw insults. So he was speaking all sorts of trash to them. So his brothers were listening to this day in, day out, being mentally battered and their confidence shot. But David wasn't privy to that. He hadn't been around. So he rocks up with, a rucksack of bread and, hey, what are you guys doing? Like, why are you sitting around? Why are you letting this idiot call you names? Like, excuse me, did you just insult my God? He didn't have the fear. His mindset wasn't destroyed by days and months and weeks or however long it was of being abused, verbal abuse that his brothers had gone through. He knew his authority. He knew his God, and he had unfailing faith that God would show up. So he took a step of faith. I mean, can you imagine if nothing happened after he did that? He'd be like, whoops, well, that didn't work. So he clearly, knowing that his mind was in the right place, he had decided that he was going to follow God. And if God had given him that instruction to, and even the fact that he wasn't wearing armor like everybody else, he went with his own view of how he was going to do things that was really congruent to him. He was not a archer. He didn't he wasn't a sword fighter. Well, yes, that's when he was younger. His tools of choice was a slingshot and a smooth stone, because that's what he knew, and God used what he knew. So if we just think about it, if we all have an inner David, or we all have an inner Deborah, and our Deborah is, that's my favorite character. Okay. She doesn't get a lot of airtime like a lot of these other names in the Bible. But what I loved about her, she was a very progressive woman that, she was a wife, she was a mother, she was a judge. People would really respect her judgment on things. She was entrepreneurial. She had her own business. She was selling cloth and helping run the households. But she also was prophetic. So she relied on what God directed her to do. And they overcame a really big, and won a battle against the dark forces, because she pressed into knowing, this is how God made me, and I'm going to use what God has given me to give him glory. But it's because they said yes. So everybody you read in the Bible, you're going to look at this with new eyes. Nobody was special. They just said yes to God. They partnered with him, and they trusted him in the process. So hopefully you can find some encouragement in that and tap into your own champion within you. Are you ready to grow? Come join our group mentorship to stretch yourself and reach your full potential. Go to mamikakuni.com to reserve your seat today.